Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thank you for joining us. Once again, Philip Tyrone is with us. He's the founder of the Mortgage Equity Group. We specialize in educating borrowers, helping them increase their credit scores so they can qualify for the optimal loan program available. Phil created the 7 steps to a 720 credit score. Philip, once again, thank you for joining us.
Great to be here.
We just had kind of gotten on a topic, and we were both, I knew it was coming and you didn't, but you were stunned by me saying that some of the prices in California, Riverside actually had gone down now 75% on a select group of inventory. And we started talking about the likelihood that maybe the neighbors will have a hard time making their payment, but let's say they're willing to, but they have an adjustable loan. How detrimental is it to be surrounded with low comps that are from motivated bank-owned properties? Do they steer what their appraisal will be worth now?
Oh, without a question. I mean, that's the problem we're having, is because all these, you know, the comparables they use for the appraisals are recent sales. So if there is a bank-owned property at, you know, at, like you said in the previous example, $100,000, where they, they bought the property was worth a year ago or 2 years ago, $400,000, mm-hmm. That's going to have a huge impact on that borrower being able to refinance. And God forbid that person has a 5-year fixed rate,
yes,
or a type of loan that's going adjustable. That's, you know, once again, going to our discussion is, you can't, if you know you're going to need to refinance, you really can't afford to wait because you don't know what's coming down the pike.
No, there's just no guarantees. You can't even, that's one of the things. Now, we have successfully bought and sold a half a dozen houses this year and gotten to the finish line, but it has not been easy. If you can imagine being in escrow every time, there's a surprise, and everything closed, and we've got 5 more now we're fixing. And I'm sure the loan that we will have to end up with down the road is maybe different than the one that's currently available. One thing that drives me nuts as an investor, and you might give me your feedback on this, FHA will not let us sell the properties to an FHA borrower until 90 days has passed under the assumption we're committing fraud. I find that very frustrating.
Huh. Oh, you mean as an investor that just bought a foreclosed property?
Correct. If I buy an REO and fix it and sell it, and someone makes an offer and has an FHA loan in mind, I have to pass on the offer.
Oh, my goodness.
That's amazing to me.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard. You know, I haven't come across that yet.
But
I just know I will because of, you know, the REOs coming in my area.
Yeah.
The thing that's frustrating, Bruce, is that FHA is the one saving grace we have right now. I mean, literally, the difference in interest rate between an FHA, a jumbo FHA, meaning a $700,000 FHA loan, 30-year fix,
right,
and a $700,000, say Fannie and Freddie 30-year fix,
right,
is a 0.5% in interest rate.
Which makes for either qualifying or not qualifying
in some cases. Yeah, I mean, literally 0.5% in interest rate will give you an increased 7.5% in borrowing power to your borrower.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal. But unfortunately, I mean, hearing that, it just, you know, once again.
You know what's interesting, too? The Case-Shiller Index, I'm sure you've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Big declines in that. But that purposely doesn't reflect any lender-owned comps. Which in Corona, by the way, last month, this is just unbelievable, were 95% of all closings. 95% of everything that closed in March or April of this year was either a short sale or an REO.
Wow.
So I suppose there are no other comps. You have to use those. But that's really, it doesn't define market value, which is interesting. We have a property that we just closed where we were probably $50,000 higher than fixer-uppers that had sold to investors and that were even available in the MLS. But ours was perfect and it was staged and it sold. and close because we had a completely different product than the as-is house. So that's going to be a real problem for appraisals because there is a difference between the two products. And so you really have to – it's not easy comping. While we're talking a little bit about appraising, I understand that there may be new guidelines coming into effect on in January. Are you familiar with those?
Oh, it's it's a big deal. You know, the question of if we're going to be able to order appraisals or not.
Correct. In other words, if you're not able to, what effect do you think that'll have?
Oh, it's, I mean, well, you know, the way they want to position it is to have this, you know, this have Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac form this behemoth, you know, part of their company where that handles all valuations. And, you know, I've experienced this with, you know, in my own, you know, in the financing over the past 11 years when we're doing a loan for somebody and, for example, they we're doing a loan and the appraiser that they want to use is, you know, out of the area and does not understand the market.
Right.
Because it's a very, you know, markets change. Markets are very particular.
In L.A., you could change night and day and by one street.
Oh, exactly. And literally, I mean, you can have, with the wrong appraiser not understanding the market, it has a huge impact on price, which has a huge impact on value. So, I mean, it could be a big, big problem. I've written numerous letters and opinions on this because it's a scary thing. I mean, the whole conversation that appraisers and mortgage brokers and are in cahoots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an easier fix than giving it all to Fannie and Freddie.
I heard too that they're leaning toward kind of an automated system where you push the button and you get the average
automatic valuation.
Yeah, that's just great.
Well, that's just that. Yeah, I mean,
that is going to be so inaccurate.
Well,
we sit at every auction we go to, you know, in an audience of 1,000 people, when every time we look over, and this is the homework somebody's done. They print the Zillow estimate and they get Google Earth for the picture.
Yeah.
So that's in essence, somebody's going to be at Fannie going, I think it's worth 600. It's still there. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's frustrating. So hopefully that will not come into fruition, but, you know, we'll see in January.
Okay. California has been designated a declining value state. I want to know how that affects the loan program. And off air, you mentioned that we somehow got a new designation.
Yeah, well, what's happening, Bruce, is that, you know, so when you're a declining value, basically banks will right off the bat take 5% off of what they'll lend. So if they normally would lend 80%, they'll drop it to 75%.
Okay.
And, you know, fortunately with FHA, that is not the case. They do not ding you 5% for declining value. So that's one of the reasons why we are doing more FHAs. More FHA loans now than we've ever done.
Do you expect now that loan program, that extension of value, is only what, guaranteed till the end of the year? Do you think they'll extend that?
You know, with all the talk and about how rough it is out there, I don't see how, you know, politically they couldn't extend it.
Mm-hmm.
But politicians do things, you know, just to save themselves sometimes. So I just, in their best interest, I don't see how they couldn't want to do that as a collective group. So, I mean, we'll see whether, you know, but I mean, that's the way I look at it from what I've read. That's what I'm hearing, that they would. But with FHA, there's not that 5% declining value. Also, there's certain banks that come out with other designations, and one bank just came out with, the first time I've seen this, as a stressed market,
mm-hmm.
STRESSED, and they limited their loan-to-values to 60% loan-to-value.
Wow.
And this was a loan in Sonoma County, California.
So a 40% down requirement for a purchase or a 40% equity position for a refi.
Yeah.
That eliminates a fair amount of people.
I mean, it is... I just can't even get over it. Like, I'm looking at this information. You know, I just do a lot of research and reading, and I look at this information, and I'm looking at it in disbelief. 40% loan to value, 60% loan to value, 40% down, And then when I think that hearing what you're talking about, how 95% of sales in Corona were REO sales, REO transactions, I mean, tell me that's not stressed.
What is the lender's attitude toward a property that's not in good shape at this point? Because coming up are two back-to-back auctions, Hudson and Marshall and REDC, lots of fixer-upper properties that are going to be attempted to be bought by an owner-occupant with barely enough money to get an FHA loan, but the condition's not going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, Bruce, is that the appraisers are, you know, the appraisers want to deliver to the bank exactly what they want because they know what the banks are not liking right now.
Okay.
So because of that, the appraisers are going into a property and being overly conservative. So if a property is not in good shape, they're not going to mark that, you know, the average box on the quality of the property.
Right.
And if it goes into poor, then they're not going to lend on it.
Plus, they're going to be taking pictures to have the visual,
yeah,
too.
Okay. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Are you seeing a lot of review on appraisals?
Oh, all, I mean, like crazy.
Okay.
Appraisal reviews are the norm right now. I mean, as a matter of fact, I'm just telling everybody, just expect your appraisal to be reviewed. And what's frustrating is sometimes you have to, you know, these lenders, they require to use certain, you know, the, you know, certain lenders require that you use an appraisal company that's owned by them.
Mm-hmm.
And you use that company.
Yes.
And then they review their own company's appraisal. That's how tough it is.
What, you know, I'm used to hearing maybe a year ago, you know, the process takes, 3 weeks? Now, what does the process take now?
You know, it just depends on the lender we go to. It can go from anywhere from, you know, 30 days to, you know, 3 months.
Wow.
It just really depends. I mean, there's certain banks that are still, there are still certain portfolio lenders that offer some very, very aggressive, you know, jumbo financing. Very aggressive jumbo financing that's not Fannie and Freddie, and even some some outside the box cross collateralization, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, literally, the rates are so good that it takes 3 months to get a loan closed. It takes 2 months before they'll even look at it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you see that the income levels of the clients that are borrowing the money is that still staying healthy, or has this started to affect people's ability to make money, even if they're not in the real estate business?
You know, I haven't seen that yet.
Okay.
I haven't seen the point where people who were getting properties lost a job, so they can't buy anymore. But I'll tell you, what I am seeing is I'm just seeing people a lot more conservative.
Yes.
I'm seeing people say, you know what, we were going to buy, but instead of, we don't feel comfortable buying right now because we deplete our savings completely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm seeing. So I'm just seeing people just change their thought process when it comes to buying a home now or not because of the market changing.
Are people often surprised at the appraisal value of the home when it comes in?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I had a client recently selling a home, and his property was listed for $1,250,000.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten three offers, all above asking.
Wow.
One at, believe it or not, one at not all above asking, either above or at.
Okay.
But the first loan didn't go through because the people backed out for whatever reason. The second loan, they offered full value, and the bank came back at $1,150,000.
Okay.
The third came back because the same, you know, for whatever reason, it couldn't appraise at the bank they were going to. So they went three different places, two borrowers, three banks, and, you know, couldn't get appraised. And my friend said to me, I don't understand. I mean, I've gotten three offers. Isn't market value defined as what people will pay?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah. I said, but the problem is the banks are too conservative.
I've got a story that's similar on a condo in Orange County. And a superior location, maybe the superior location in the complex. Three offers back-to-back for $410,000. The appraisal that comes in from the bank, $290,000.
How much?
$290,000.
Oh.
And so it's off by 25%.
Oh, my gosh.
because what they're doing is they're taking the lowest comp, which faces a railroad track, and using that as value.
Yeah, right.
So they're really running scared.
Yeah, it's a.
Do you see any of the fixes that are being talked about, the different types of proposals to solve the mortgage mess? You see any of them solving the problem?
You know, Bruce, I hear it over and over. I heard it 6 months ago when they said Fannie and Freddie is going to solve all the problems because they're going to raise the conforming loan limit. And it went from 417 to 729, 750. And that didn't have any impact. I mean, you know, does it have an impact? Yes, some people can get loans, but it's the problem is we're not going back to where we were a year and a half ago that was driving all these sales.
Right.
And where we were a year and a half ago was, you know, someone with a 580 or 600 credit score putting no money down to get a loan. And we've taken all those buyers right out of the market. And so, you know, what is, you know, what, how is the stimulus package or how is this raising the conforming loan limits so that an extra 5% or 10% of people can get a lower interest rate going to help? It's not having the impact.
No, I think the biggest problem is definitely that the valuation of the asset is now declined below the loan.
Yeah.
And that makes it, I don't know how many people you have ever would be willing to come in, get a refi, and write a big check so they can get the loan. So I owe 800, very few. I would think not even if the willingness was there, the capacity.
Oh, without a question. And when I say very few, I'm thinking about the clients that maybe have come in with $10,000 or $12,000.
Yeah, not 100 or 200.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm seeing, yeah, exactly. And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing people that are, you know, significantly underwater. And like you said earlier, the question is they got to be leaving my office thinking, why am I staying in this home?
Now, you do see a lot of people, and they're probably getting faced with that. So what would, if you had to give a percentage of saying, okay, this person now recognizes they're upside down hopelessly for maybe the next 5 years on a mortgage, but they can make the payment. What percentage do you think just decide, it's not worth it, I'm going to walk away?
You know, here's the thing. I'm completely just throwing a pulling number out of the air, obviously.
Sure.
But I will tell you, I think right now in this current market, I think there some people have the belief that it's coming around quickly. Like, you know, they read in the paper that, you know, the housing markets, you know, in the Wall Street Journal, there was just an article last week, how the housing market, the bottom's almost here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think certain people believe that. So I don't think that there would be, you know, as you know, I don't know, maybe 5% or 10% would walk away right now. But I think we're going to see that number get substantially grow in multiples because what I'm seeing people right now who, I mean, I have two clients right now that have come to me recently for refinances. And these are people who, I mean, you know, have numerous investment properties. And one client, she and her husband bought 14 investment properties.
Wow.
Over the past X number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to me and she said, hey, what do I do? She came to me for credit help because she needed to raise her credit score to get a refinance. And I looked at all these properties. And where she was, you know, making $50 or $100 per month on each of them.
Yes.
Now she's losing, you know, a couple hundred dollars a month.
Mm-hmm.
Because some aren't renting and all that stuff. And now she's reaching the point where she's like, what would happen to my credit if I just stopped paying on all of them?
So it's not one loan, it's many.
It's 14. And then I have another guy who has been a client of mine for years, but his brother-in-law used his credit to get all these other properties.
Oh, wow.
And now the brother-in-law left and is out of the picture, and they're going through a lawsuit, and literally he emailed me last week and said, what would happen to my credit if I just stopped making the payments? So, and if that's the case, I mean, you know, certain people are going to be faced with that, and if they follow the credit rules and reestablish credit and follow, you know, the system like we teach in 7 Steps 720 Credit Score, it's, you know, your credit score rebounds you know, it will rebound, and you will get another loan soon, and you just need to reestablish that.
What is the time frame that if everyone did what you're suggesting, what would be the time frame that you could end up being a buyer again?
Well, it depends on a couple things, because first of all, it depends on how bad your credit was,
okay,
and how long it took.
Let's just say, I mean, this was the event. So up until now, it was okay.
Okay, so say you had great credit, and all of a sudden, in 4 months, you went through into a foreclosure, and you foreclosed on the property.
Mm-hmm.
You lost the property, and your foreclosure was on your record, and you implemented our program, and rebuilt your credit roots. You're going to have a credit score over 720 in a year and a half to 2 years. I mean, the credit score is not the problem. It's going to a bank. Certain banks will not lend to you because of your because of the foreclosure.
Correct.
However, you don't have to go to a Fannie Mae and a Freddie Mac lender, or these type of lenders. And we have lenders when people come to me and they have had a foreclosure a year and a half or 2 years ago. We go to a portfolio lender. We explain to them what happened. We show the compensating factors,
mm-hmm.
and they can get great loans.
And I'm sure that this little cycle of ours will take down a lot of very credible people for the first and only time in their life. So I think lenders would be looking at this scenario less strictly in a couple of years than they are right now.
Oh, without a question.
I mean,
you know, portfolio lenders, fortunately, are make sense lenders. I just closed a loan for a guy,
mm-hmm.
for a gentleman, had a bankruptcy a year and a half ago, but it was completely explainable.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw this in the 90s. When I was doing loans back then, and people had a foreclosure from 94, 95, or 96, you know, you'd explain it and as to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, that's a question that many people that have never asked themselves are asking themselves now.
Let me ask you one other question about just ownership types. There's a lot of people in Riverside County that bought properties that were illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that the system's changed somewhat to where that's not as easy. Is that true, as far as documentation, getting financing?
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole thing was that if someone had a Social Security number, what many lenders did,
mm-hmm.
is they would just mark that you were a U.S. citizen.
Okay.
And if you marked it that you were a U.S. citizen, then they would just assume it, and then they would move forward. Now the banks have gotten privy to that, and they're looking at the credit report, and they're looking, doing background information a lot, you know, much deeper. So, for example, the reason why that's basically not working anymore is when they do the background information and they look at a 40-year-old, gentleman that got his Social Security number 3 years ago.
Yes.
It's sort of a red flag.
Correct.
So, you know, it just doesn't work like it did. I haven't heard lenders talk about that for a few years now, but that was something that, you know.
So we had stated citizenship as well. Okay. All right, we're under a minute. Philip,
okay.
let me just let you go ahead and give your information again, your website and your phone number, please.
Sure. Well, the website is www.7steps2720, and that's the number 7, steps to the number 720.com. My phone number is 310-453-1901, and I'd be more than happy and would welcome any calls regarding loans, refinances, or if anyone needs to raise their credit score, if you have buyers that need their credit score raised for a pending purchase.
Okay. Philip, thanks so much for joining us. And is it true that I just heard that Fannie Mae is going to go and adjust the loans that they'll make to investors down from 10 to 4?
You know what? I haven't heard that yet, Bruce.
Yeah, I think
I'll do some checking on that.
Yeah, I think that's the new word. Starts in a few months.
Wow, okay.
I'll check
with that, and I'll get back to you.
They keep on attacking the wrong crowd. Philip, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.
Catch Bruce Norris June 4th at the Commonwealth Investor Club in Orange County or June 5th at the Southern California Appraisal Institute's 2008 11th Annual Inland Empire Market Trends. As Bruce talks about the state of real estate and what to expect in the coming year, Bruce will also be teaching the California-only Investor Intensive course in San Diego in association with the SDCIA Saturday, June 7th. Bruce will give you the exact blueprint he plans on using to make money in the current downturn. For information on these upcoming events, visit the Norris Group website at thenorrisgroup.com today.